If you've got your Bibles out, go ahead and turn over to Matthew chapter 13. We are going to continue looking at some parables this morning. And remember a few weeks ago when we started this little adventure, this sermon series about parables, we talked about the fact that a parable is a very simple story or word picture that it has an earthly tone, but it is a profoundly deep spiritual meaning. So when you think about parables, you know, anytime you hear the word parable, you automatically think of Scripture. Nobody today talks by saying, "Let me tell you a little parable." You know, grandfathers and grandmothers give their children and grandchildren advice, but they never say, "Let me tell you a parable." They might give an analogy or a story or something like that, but Jesus spoke in parables, and it literally means to come alongside, and it means that this earthly story, this simple explanation of something that happens here that has a very deep spiritual meaning to it. And we're going to talk about two of my favorite parables this morning, because they are they're so full of truth, obviously, but they're so full of kingdom insight, and they're so short. They're a scripture each. They speak volumes. These are two specific parables that I personally have wrestled with the meaning and application for years, and I continue to do that. So I want to kind of unpack a little bit about Matthew 13, 45 and 44 and 45. But as we do that, as you turn over, and if you've got your Bibles, turn with me. If you've got a Bible app on your phone, open that up. If you don't have a Bible app, you don't have a Bible, but you do have your phone, you can get on our Wi-Fi and look up our website, www.hhcoc.org. On the left-hand side that says Online Bible, click on that. You got all of them, 15 different versions and everything. So you have no excuse not to be looking at these words as we're looking at them this morning. But I wanted to think about, I don't know if you watch a lot of movies. I do like to watch movies. And Nicolas Cage has made a mountain of money on making movies about treasure hunting. I don't know if you've seen National Treasure, the original, or National Treasure, the Book of Secrets. But this whole movie franchise is all about finding a treasure map and then following all of the steps in order to find a treasure that is beyond price, beyond value. And that's kind of a concept that we all can at least understand. Maybe we've never followed a map. Maybe we've never had a treasure map and followed it to find a treasure. But we've all thought about it, or we've all considered it, or we've all fantasized about that as children, about finding some lost pirate's treasure. This passage this morning in Matthew chapter 13, 44 and 45, is all about finding a lost treasure. How it came to be lost, we don't know. But finding it is what's important. As Spencer read this morning, and again, not wanting to embarrass anyone, but as Spencer, the birthday boy, read this morning, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. Here we have the classic treasure, box of treasure found. And the question that Jesus is asking right off the bat, that the hearers of that day would hear, is he's asking the question, how valuable is your kingdom citizenship? Because he starts this off with, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like this. And so automatically he brings into question the value of what he's talking about. And he asks this question, how valuable is it to you? And he's going to ask that same question just a verse later. When you read this, I get caught up in kind of a, and maybe it's just how my mind works, but I kind of get caught up in a whole different kind of vein of questioning. When I read this and I see a man, you know, he's in a field and he finds a treasure and then he hides it back and goes and buys the field, I immediately start thinking, that's kind of shady. I immediately think, you know, that just doesn't feel right. And so for years, I get hung up in my interpretation. I get hung up in my wrestling with this as I don't really like the way that the guy comes into possession of the treasure, how he comes into possession of his kingdom citizenship at this point. But as I study this and as I wrestle with it, this parable isn't necessarily about ethics. There's no doubt that this is kind of a shady way to come about it. But this morning, I want us to kind of put that aside because the main thrust of this parable isn't about ethics, it's about kingdom value. And the reality is that this is not uncommon in that day and age. The reality about it is that people back then didn't have banks like we have banks. So if they had something that was valuable, gold or silver or heirlooms, jewels, whatever, it wasn't uncommon for them to take that, put it in some kind of a secure vessel, and hide it in a location, in a property that they owned. Maybe it was a field that had caves or a tomb or something of that. They would secure it underneath rocks or whatever, and only they and the family knew where it was, and so they could retrieve it whenever they needed. Maybe there was an impending invasion. Maybe they were under siege, and there was a country or a kingdom that was invading them. So they would hide their possessions, and if they were overthrown, if the family was taken into captivity, that treasure would just be lost. That savings, that cash would just be lost. And so it wasn't uncommon in that day for this to happen. And so the question that Jesus is asking us is, as we go through life, as we walk the walk of this life, do we even recognize, are we even at all cognizant of the value that is around us? Would we even recognize the value of the kingdom? He goes on to tell this story. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything that he had. And this whole pearl story is kind of counterintuitive to investing. I mean, this is a guy who is probably like a wholesaler of jewels or pearls. So he had a very keen eye. He knew what a good pearl was and what a bad pearl was. And so he would go into the marketplace. He would go to where they were selling, you know, all of these pearls or whatever gemstone he was looking for. And he knew what he was looking for, and he would buy them. He would invest. Well, if you know anything about investing, which all I know about investing is what I read because I don't do a lot of it, but one of the things that I know about investing is that you want to diversify, right? I mean, those of y'all who invest, you know, you don't want all of your eggs in one basket, so to speak. You know, you don't hear about a stock and say, this is probably going to take off. And you say, okay, sell all my other stocks and all my bonds and all my everything, and let's go and put everything into this one stock. Nobody does that. That's not a smart way to invest. So this merchant, this pearl wholesaler, he sees this one pearl. And it goes against everything that he's probably ever heard or ever learned or ever practiced. He sees this one pearl of such great value that counter to everything he's ever heard, everything he's ever known, everything he's ever practiced, says everything else has got to go. I must own this one. Would we recognize value like that? One of the things that I want to point out in these two parables is that kingdom citizenship, the value of kingdom citizenship, brings about particular behaviors in those who notice it and those who get it. There's particular behaviors that we are called to have in this kingdom. And one of the things that he points out, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. I'm going to read them both again. It's like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went out and sold all he had. And he bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, the joy is understood, sold everything he had and bought it. What Jesus is telling us about our citizenship, about being in the kingdom, about the value, is that joy always precedes sacrifice. That joy has to precede obedience. The problem that we face in the kingdom today is that when we get so hung up on the don'ts, when we get so fixated on the kingdom citizen, what it doesn't include, what we can't do, what we have to sacrifice, what we must do on this side, when we get hung up on the don'ts, then our citizenship becomes a burden. But what Jesus says is that true citizenship, when we recognize the value, well, it's a joy. And you don't even recognize what, you don't even realize what you're giving away. You don't even value those things any longer. It's kind of like what Paul said to the Corinthians when he says, the message that you received in joy, in spite of the suffering that it brought. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I want to read that to make sure that I get it right. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he's talking about generosity. He's talking about giving. He's talking about sacrificing. He says, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, think about this, the Macedonian churches are going through some severe trials, famine, poverty. He says, and the most severe trials, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the ministry. Does that sound like people whose citizenship in the kingdom of heaven is a burden to them? Whose service to God is something that they have to try and begrudgingly do and just work and trudge along? Or does that sound like someone who understands the value of the kingdom and then joyfully, generously gives away everything that they have in order to procure it, in order to claim it? It's joy that comes before sacrifice. It's joy that comes before obedience. When we focus on the do's and the don'ts of the kingdom, it becomes a burden. But when we focus on what Dan pointed out this morning in his call to worship, which just beautifully, by the Spirit of God, dovetails with exactly where I'm going with this. When we focus on the fact that we are ushered into the kingdom of heaven based on the merit, the love and the sacrifice of Jesus, not based on our own merit, not based on our own sacrifice, not based on our own obedience, but we are brought in, invited into God's kingdom based on Jesus. Joy is what fuels us. Joy is what motivates us. It's what Paul said when he said, I count everything but loss. I count everything that I own. He's like that merchant in the store when he sees that pearl. He says, everything I own is worthless without this. It's like the guy that goes walking in the field and he notices this treasure and he goes and he realizes what it is and he puts it back there and in joy goes off and he thinks, everything I have, he puts up everything that he owns and it pales in comparison to what he could have. And there's nothing that he holds on to in order to have this. There's nothing that he clings to in order to possess the kingdom. Because one of the things that both of these people have in common is they realize the rarity of their find. I mean, there's fields everywhere. But this one has a treasure. I mean, there's pearls galore. I mean, there's bins and tables just full of pearls. But this one is unlike any other. This year earlier in Sri Lanka, the largest blue star sapphire ever found was unearthed. And it's the owner of it is anonymous. The purchaser of this blue star sapphire, it's named the Star of Adam. And it's over almost 2,000 carats in size. And the anonymous owner has said that it possibly could be worth more than $175 million. And it said that when the bidding started, he said, there was nothing that I would withhold in order to own that sapphire. The question this morning is there anything that you would withhold that could prohibit your kingdom citizenship? Because there's nothing else like it. There's no other sapphire. There's no other gem. There's no other their prized possession on earth that this guy thought that was worth owning next to that. It's so rare. There's nothing else like it. See, Jesus is that same way. I mean, you could line him up next to every other prophet, every other proclaimed deity, every other everything. And Jesus is the rarest of them all. No other God is like our God. No other claimed deity is like Jesus. Every other prophet, every other person has gone into a grave and stayed there, but our Lord is risen. Every other deity has set themselves apart from mankind, but ours claim citizenship with us. He said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There is no God like our God. Are we willing to release everything? Are we willing to count everything but loss in order to dwell with Him? This morning, where are you in this parable? Are you going through life just doing business as usual? And have you come across something that seems valuable, but you're just not willing to pull the trigger on getting rid of everything in order to have it? My plea with you this morning is to quit holding on to the worthless that's keeping you from owning the priceless. Quit fussing over diversity when there's only one kingdom that we need to be citizens of. If you're there at that crossroads thinking, is this really worth it? Realize what's at stake and enjoy, give up everything else to take hold of eternity. And if you've already made that decision, but there are areas of your life that you're just not willing to part with, my plea this morning is that you would take a renewed look at what is it that you're hanging on to that's prohibiting your total, complete sellout to the kingdom of heaven. What is it that still holds a place in your heart where Jesus is not yet sovereign? Whatever your need is this morning, if it's to be prayed with, to prayed over, if you want to confess Christ, if you want to sell everything, if you want to give it all away to take on Christ, you can do that this morning. I'll be up front. Just come forward. Let your needs be known as together we stand and as we sing.